This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine Podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. Live from the heart of Atlanta, Georgia and beyond, hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I am your lovable, for the time being, not so huggable, mid-morning chat host, Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. Man of a thousand voices, Tim Andrews. Lady of quite a few voices in her own right, Autumn Fisher. And the handsomest producer in all of producery, Jared Yamamoto.
Wishing you a thankful Thursday, Eric.
Well, my Thursday is not starting in a way that I would be necessarily thankful. Number one, this is a minor thing. I can't find my Apple Pencil. I was just using it not
my
that
Apple
long
pencil.
Ago.
My Way to
Apple,
go.
My Apple Pencil is missing. Secondly, I'm not going to be too thankful for the fact that I went to check my mail this morning. And I don't know if it's just the water, the heat, the whatever. You pull the mail out, I'm looking at it. Because I'm supposed to get that sticker from DDS, the DMV.
Oh, yeah.
For the new month. And my car is registered. They haven't sent me the sticker yet.
Sure,
so I'm looking for that
sticker. You're just
sticker.
Doing that on the air. Hey, you're like, I'm registered.
Let me just say that a cop will see May, but then before you pull me over, just run the tag and you'll see that the state has... I have paid my $21, thank you. So looking... And the $1 is for the mailing fee so they can mail it to me. So I keep waiting for that. I pull the mail out, and you things that you don't. It's funny how you don't see things that you don't expect to be there, right? So I'm looking through the mail, and then I go, "Oh, is that a little ant? Wait, is that another ant? Wait a minute, is that 1,000 ants? The entire mailbox was taken over with ants, and then I looked in there, and it looked like I don't know. It looked like almost like little larva for fly. I have no idea.
So they're ant larva.
Yeah, they're little ant larva.
Oh, is it ant larva?
It's their babies.
So they were starting a... Well, those babies are no more. That was a washout. So I had to come in, get a lot of hot water, throw that in there, clean... Who has to clean out their mailbox?
That was their home, Eric.
Yeah, why are they making their home in there? Are you leaving cookies?
Well, they ought not make their home where I'm waiting for my DDS sticker. Maybe next time somebody... I let one ant live just so he could go back and tell the rest that is not our home. Not so long as Eric has not gotten his new month tag sticker from DDS. And no, that's not a dental thing. That used to be called the DMV, for heaven's sakes. So I don't know that I'm starting all that thankful. But I'm sure things will happen, and I'll keep my eyes open. If I find my Apple Pencil and there's no more infestation of my mailbox, perhaps by this afternoon I'll find something on this Thursday to be thankful for. Give me some stories, some headlines. It's WSB. I want news. I want information. I want it delivered in an entertaining fashion. You know what this is all about, Jared. Don't let me down.
33-year-old John Ossoff has won Georgia's Democrat Senate primary, and he was very pleased with Georgia for helping him out.
Oh,
thank you so
much. He's 30. I thought he was 25, but he's actually... Don't you have to be 30 to be in the Senate? I'm not sure.
I believe so.
He is 33.
I was not having trouble with my age until I heard that this politician that seems like such an adult
Yeah.
is...
That's what it seems. That's what happens. By the way, while you're aging, Autumn just went through her 38th birthday yesterday. It was quite the tragedy for her. And but though this is what happens is you as you grow older, you're young. Like all the rock stars you like or musicians are a little bit older than you. Then suddenly you find, oh wow, the people who are very popular are a little younger than me. But then when it really hits you is when presidents are elected that are younger than you. Now that's not
unacceptable.
That's not going to happen this time for most of us. But it has happened to me where I think I've had, maybe not yet. I'm trying to think. Obama, I think, is about a year older than me. So it hasn't, I'm right there in the point where presidents have been elected that are right at my age. And then we went into this whole octogenarian thing where no one's allowed to be elected president unless they're knocking on the door of 80. So we're not going to have to worry about that one.
That's
but
you'll
look around. That's right. Yeah. Hey, so John Ossoff, I bet you he made, if I know John Ossoff, and of course I do, he would not make some sort of automated AI sounding, you know, Adderall ridden sort of robot kind of response. I'm sure there was a lot of humanity and emotion and passion in John Ossoff when he spoke to people after actually winning the primary outright.
Yes, he sent this via video message.
Thank you so much for this honor and for this victory, and looking forward to victory in November.
Shabbat.
Thank you so much for this honor, and I look forward to a victory in the fall.
Hey, Ossoff, turn off my living room lights.
Ossoff bot, turning off your living room lights.
Hey, Ossoff, what's the weather like today?
Ossbot says, we have a cold front coming in, which will lower temperatures all day, which I promised 6 months ago would happen. And now it's still going to be hot, but not as much humidity. Ossbot out.
Hey, I heard, at one point last night, I think I heard him brag about being a big boy now.
Which
I am a big boy now. I'm finally wearing my big boy pants. And don't you worry, this fall, after I avoid speeches in the media, you can vote for me in November.
So John Ossoff will go up against Purdue.
Correct.
Now, he said a few things about Purdue. He kind of kicked that off and what his lines of attack are going to be on Purdue.
He was too busy adjusting his stock portfolio to warn us of the gravest public health emergency in a century. David Perdue has failed Georgia.
Okay, now he's going to run against David Perdue. He's going to say bad things about David Perdue. That's fine. I wonder with politicians now if there's any connection between the things they say and it actually happening. Like, I think that what he should have said there is it's as if, when you look at the way Perdue responded, right, he's being critical, it's as if he were more interested in his portfolio than warning people. But no, he just says, this is what happened. Like, the world is that simple. Is that what happened, David Perdue? Were you late in warning us about COVID-19 simply because you were adjusting your Wall Street portfolio?
I told my wife that we had to get our portfolio wrapped up and taken care of and secured before we got to the people. But don't you worry. A few people might die, but we got priorities here. Once everything's in line, we're going to go ahead and start taking care of the people. But, man, we got to get our stocks. Hey, you got a good tip? Hang on. Hey, call Kelly and see what we could do.
I want to have a new theater here on the Von Hessler Doctrine. If the world worked the way politicians actually said, just say, hey, looking at Purdue and the way it responded, it's as if he was more interested. But instead, they just go out there and say no, as if they know it for a fact. He actually put aside warning the people of Georgia about the COVID threat because he was too busy adjusting his Wall Street portfolio. Possibly could have happened. Just say things. When you're politicians, just say things. Who cares about reality? Really doesn't matter. I don't even think John Ossoff is actually a human being. But you
I'm
know
not,
what?
I'm a robot.
It may be that we need a good robot to go shake things up on Capitol Hill. Yes, Jared.
Now, Ossoff did have a message of unity for all of Georgia.
Now is the time to stand up and make a change in this state. And we can do it together.
We can do it together. We can all stand up and make a change in this state. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and take a stand in this state.
He sounds like a little kid who's doing a presentation, you know, at like 7 p.m. on a Thursday night. All your parents are there.
This is a science project that my friends and I put together. And it shows you the disparity between senators who have stock portfolios and senators who do not.
I don't want to make any kind of crazy accusations. I will just give you my observation. It's Adderall sounding. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying
stilted.
It is.
It's a stilted. It's a pulled back sort of vocal quality.
It's as if he's reading. John
Ossoff.
Ossoff.
Am
here.
To say that we must and we will and we shall when we do. That is what they want and we will. Thank you.
Wow, now is the time to stand up and make a change in this state. And we can do it together.
Yes,
that's right.
We can do it together.
Can do it together. The thing that I say, we are together. Thank you.
That's a very, very hopeful message. You know what? In these times, it's great to hear a robotic voice of hope. I think we
need
more.
In these times, it's great to hear a robotic voice of hope.
You're just copying me. You're just saying what I just said.
Like Eric Von Hessler said, we need to stand up and unite.
No, you said that. I didn't. I agree with that. But you said that. I
think even Eric Von Hessler agrees that it's time for Georgia to stand up and unite for change.
We need to take the Ossoff bot back for, these things do have to be recalibrated from time to time.
Reset. Have you restarted your Ossoff bot lately?
We're hoping. Time for change. Time for change. Time for change.
We have until November to get the Ossoff bot recalibrated. I follow politics, but follow politics for a very long time. Congratulations, John Ossoff. I wish I had any idea what motivates you as a candidate for the Senate. I wish I had. I believe that the motivation is you looked in the mirror one day and said, hey, that looks like a guy who ought to be in office.
So, I would be a good senator.
Is that the reason you want to be a senator?
Yes.
Can't tell us why you'd be a good senator.
I'll let other people do that.
Very good. Very good. We'll be back.
Your safety is our concern, so we've socially distanced the fun. Eric Von Hessler, weekday mornings at 9, and Mark Arum, weekday evenings at 6. Coronavirus information when you want it, and laughter when you don't. On 95.5 WSB.
All right, so everybody has to get used to what I will call the Adderall lilt of John Ossoff. He's not going away. I'm not making any accusations. Just call off the lawyers. I'm just saying the lilt, the sound of the voice, it's an Adderall lilt. Of course, I don't think he's doing it. I just think it's an Adderall lilt is what I'm saying.
So what are you trying to say?
I'm saying that your voice has an Adderall lilt. Robotic.
We have to restart our Ossoff.
Okay, listen.
Sorry.
You know what?
Yeah.
What you have to do is you have to power him down slowly, and then you got to bring it back slowly. So it's
You have to. I think you have to keep him off for like 15 seconds. Isn't that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
Hit the reset button.
Yeah, that cuts the circuit, and then
as
does anybody have like a little
here he is. Here he is.
I can push in the.
Here we go. Here we go.
As I was saying. Yep. Okay. This is something that we need to do. We need to send a message to Washington here in Georgia by doing things together and raising up and doing it now.
The question is, what is that message?
I wasn't ready yet.
I know, but look, it's time. It's a big day. We have to take a victory lap. It's a celebration for the Ossoff bot. Do you have another piece of audio from...
Oh, he wasn't done going after David Perdue. Here's another one.
David Perdue has failed us. He has been caught self-dealing.
Uh-oh.
Now,
by his
hold
mother.
Hold on. Is he saying that David Perdue was caught self-dealing? And by self-dealing, I'm talking about, self-dealing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've never done that. No self-dealing ever. It'll make you go blind, and I'm going to tell you that right now. We don't do that here in the household.
I've never even seen you with glasses, sir, so I think that these accusations of self-dealing, certainly public self-dealing.
And I don't got no hair on my hands.
That's exactly. This is something that was pointed out in your campaign literature.
Thank you.
So this will be quite a contest leading up into November. I saw also that apparently Trump got over 140,000 more votes than Biden, and nobody's running against. I mean, well, I guess maybe that's what it is. All those names were still on the ballot, so you could still vote for Bernie and things like that on the Democrat
side. Yeah,
Bernie.
Bernie brought in about 9% of the vote, surprisingly, even though he's not running anymore.
Look,
that's. Yeah, hey, man, you're trailing the president. Hey,
man, look.
Yeah?
I'll give you 140,000 slaps of jaws. You keep telling us kind of lies, buddy. Sometimes you and I can go ahead and do a push-up cut. Look, don't look. Turn into your show pal, and you find out. Look,
are you challenging me to a push-up contest?
Corn Pop and I did a look. We settled it later with a push-up contest. Look, I smacked Corn Popper. Look, I did 50 more push-ups than he did. I'll take you. Look, you got a pool, right?
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
He was. Yeah, you got a pool up there in your little mansion, right?
Yeah, you want to have a contest?
Let's have a swim off. You and I'll jump in with swim off. We'll get John Oss off. We'll have an off on and everything like that. We'll see who's got the hair of your legs. Let's do it, pal.
I'm getting the story from Newsweek, so I'm not getting it from any sort of.
They're lying. I'm going to sue them. I'm going to sue Newsweek. They're lying.
140,000 more votes in the Georgia primary than Joe Biden. Trump received 140,000 more votes. But he was basically running unopposed. Was there anybody still on the ticket against? Because a couple people had tried in the early states.
Not on the Republican. I
don't know if it says anything about Biden that people are still going to the polls. I mean, if you went to the polls yesterday and you're part of that 9% who voted for Bernie Sanders, even though you know he doesn't have any chance whatsoever of being the nominee, you risked COVID to go do that. That's kind of odd. You'd think you'd just kind of stay home and let it be because you know Joe Biden's going to be the nominee. So I don't know. I don't know if it really means anything other than the fact that the Bernie bros are going to go down last. You know, they're going to cling until the very end.
82,000 people voted for Bernie, and then right behind Bernie, I mean, a little bit of distance between them, but Elizabeth Warren had 16,000 people in Georgia vote for her as well.
People really miss being annoyed on a daily basis by her campaign. It really is. Apparently you long for that nails on the chalkboard kind of thing, right? And we miss it. Are you still out of breath? Have you been able to catch your breath? You haven't been running for office.
I'm not out of breath.
Well, you always sound like you're
out
of breath.
It's just my natural speaking voice. It's my natural candor.
How many people voted for her?
16,079.
Yeah, not bad.
Going strong.
Yeah, well, you're not on the ballot. I'm not really.
16,000 strong.
Yeah. That's 16,000 helpers to get a little more socialism in the Democrat platform.
Now, that's what you said, not
that's
me.
That's what you're looking for.
I never said that.
All right. You got another story for me there, Jared Yamamoto?
I do. I actually will stay in the state of Georgia, where Savannah is offering to pay 50 people to go move there, guys.
Well, that doesn't look desperate at all. You know, what is the idea here? Hey, if we could just get 50 people in here who are, I think what they want to become like a tech hub. They want to, which is
correct.
A smart thing. By the way, in this, it used to be that in order to have an economy, like your city had to be on a river, you know, so you can ship goods or whatever.
Yeah, like train tracks.
With technology, you can make kind of a decision to become a tech hub by incentivizing that thing. I think that's what Savannah is trying to do. But this idea of just young people and we'll pay them to come here and they'll be tech savvy. Just create a system of incentives in your area. And I think that the tech companies and young tech workers will find you. Who wants to go live in these crowded cities anymore? I'm sure there's plenty of tech workers. But so on one hand, I would just say it's almost like that baseball movie. You know, just build it and they will come. If you create a situation that incentivizes tech companies, tech workers, youth, I think that they will find you with those situations. But it's rather desperate to say, well, they're going to pay them like $2,000 to move.
Up to...
Well, these are the 50 beautiful people. What makes no sense?
Just 50 is such a small number, too.
Well, Savannah's a small town. I guess 50 people rowing in the same direction will ultimately make Savannah a tech hub in this country.
It seemed like they had a certain amount of money, and they were like, okay, how many people do we need to...
Say 50. We'll pay for them. Bring them in here.
2,000.
So, I don't think it takes that much. I think you just incentivize and they'll find you. That's the way to do it. Don't come off as desperate, Savannah.
It's a relatively low risk too, because if you
remember
the
Savannah,
candidate...
the porn star, Tim Andrews does.
No, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, oh, come on.
Sure.
Yes,
it's
of course.
It's actually, I don't want to laugh. You shouldn't laugh.
She was a tragedy there.
Tragic story. But I always wondered, is she from Savannah? Turns out, no. I think she was from California.
She did date Greg Allman, though.
She dated Greg Allman. Didn't she date Pauly Shore at one point?
I'm sure there was a long line.
There's a whole thing, but I'm being honest here. No laughs. She apparently was a miserable person and had a very tragic life. So I'm sorry I brought it up. I brought everybody down. First I go after the city of Savannah, then I bring up the porn actress who was miserable. And look, I'm going to take a little time. I'm going to look in the mirror. I'm going to come to terms with myself, who I am and what I'm about. And then I'm going to come back, and we're going to have a hopeful second half hour with English Nick when we return. Where in the hell is my Apple Pencil?
Maybe the ants took it.
That or they just disappear. The ants in my mailbox took my Apple Pencil. Well, that's a heck of a way to start the day, but that's okay. I'm not gonna be in a bad mood. As a matter of fact, English Nick is coming up next, and usually we have Outrage Corner with English Nick. And I was thinking about, you know, in a world where outrage is obvious and upfront and all around us, it'll be a downer to talk about outrage. So we're going to go in a different direction, although we don't have an opening sounder for it.
I wrote one, if you want it.
I just wrote one. What's it sound like? Go ahead.
If you're feeling down and things aren't great, everyone seems so irate. If you don't know what you got to do, the Von Hessler crew with glad tidings.
From English
start.
Nick.
It's a start.
It's glad tidings. I like it. The idea is...
Glad tidings.
I want to hear you go like, cheerio. Is that an English thing or an Irish thing?
Oh, that's cheerio. Cheerio, toodle, pip, ta-ta for now, all English things.
We're going to do a sounder. Toodle, pip, glad tidings Nick.
If it's a bad news day in the WSB newsroom, I'll walk past Chris Chandler and just say, toodle, pip, and he'll laugh his butt off.
Yeah, exactly. Because you got to, you know, it could be it's one of those things where if you're in a newsroom and the news is all bad for 2 or 3 weeks or months or an entire year
forever.
Yeah, you need some cheering up every once. They talk about these people who have to watch everything on Facebook and they all have like PTSD because some of the horrific things that people try to put up there. Well, our news people have to I don't know about PTSD, that's a little too far, but they certainly need to be cheered up. And English Nick, that is why I have you here, to cheer us up. We're not going to do Outrage Corner when everybody's outraged anyway. Instead, we have glad tidings from English Nick.
With English Nick, it's glad tidings.
There you go. And so these are stories that have some sort of a hopeful theme to them.
Positivity, you know what I'm saying?
Positivity, thank you. Who's the actor from The Office who was doing that? I wanted to call it Good News with English Nick, but it was taken.
Oh, yeah.
John Krasinski. Yeah, I can't. He had so much good news during the COVID thing, and then he sold it for like $10 million to somebody.
Yeah,
so
he needs more money, he and his famous wife.
Well, he created some very good news for himself.
Well, it's just a lot of money to give for something.
Oh, who are you, the sheriff of the universe? You don't deserve more money?
Here to have a nice time. I'm sorry that I came in with my jealousy.
Yeah, enough with your negativity, Autumn. All right, so give us some stories that will make us feel somewhat positive.
How old were you yesterday? You still bitter about that, Autumn?
Yeah, she's off her game. I'll tell you that. She's not getting it. She's totally, she can't handle the fact that she's now 38 years old. But let's get to the positive stuff.
Yeah, a study has shown that the more you smile, the more happy you are, it can fight against deadly stomach infections, gut infections.
Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. There's something that's in your hands that in this world where everything just seems negative. Here's something
smile,
that's in your...
Even you if your smile. Stomach's aching.
Just smile your way through your gut. Nobody wants a gut infection. That doesn't even sound good. Who wants a gut infection? And so I don't know how... Whenever I see these stories, but I'm going to be positive today and say I'm just going to ride with it. Sometimes wonder about how much a positive attitude can help when it comes to health problems. I would imagine, at the very least on the margins, your attitude would probably have something to do with it.
Well, it's all about the production of serotonin, and you know, it's a brain chemical, but about 90% of it is actually produced in the gut. So there you go. In the
you
tract.
Know what? As I get older, I realize, because you get, I have this rule since I've turned like somewhere in my 50s. I'm now 56, but I don't remember when I started this rule a few years ago, so that I don't keep bothering doctors as my body gets older. Something has to hurt for 2 full weeks before I actually go to the doctor, because so often it'll be like, you know, for 2 days the left knee is giving me trouble, barking at me, and then it goes away. Then the right arm, okay, there's a little, 2 days later it goes away. And And a lot of the stuff outside of knees and arms, I realize I really do believe I'm going toward Dr. Joe on this. I'm beginning to believe that diet and digestion have a lot to do with almost every ailment in my life, because it all comes down to some sort of gas being blocked somewhere. It's either trying to come out the top or the bottom, but it's blocked somewhere and it's causing trouble. So if I smile my way through that, then I have a better chance of not getting a gut infection.
Yeah, if you're smiling, we don't know you're trying to force that gas from one part of your body out. Yeah.
Well, gas in general just makes me smile. You know me.
Yeah, yeah.
What great punk band name, The Gut Infections.
It's probably been taken somewhere in
gut,
like,
infections.
Eastern Europe or something.
All right, so people smile more. Yeah. And that's something that you have in your ability. You don't have to go to medical school to know what to do in this. Now, it's not everything. Smile, the Von Hessler Doctrine says, if it continues, smile on your way to the doctor. But smiling and being, you know, you can smile. If it's a forced smile, I don't think it's going to work. You actually have to be happy. What is happiness? I don't know. But you just,
so
you strive for the happiness.
If you do spend some time in the mirror smiling at yourself, mm-hmm. it does feel fake at first, and then it sort of starts to work. You do kind of feel like in a little bit of a better mood.
Yeah, but if you do it for more than 30 minutes, you're certifiable.
It's oh, yeah, yeah. So there's a, there's
I'm so
a,
happy.
Yeah, there's a range, right? There's like too little is not going to be effective. It's not going to work. And then somewhere in the sweet spot in the middle. Yeah, and then if you go past that, then you're deranged.
All right. What, you got any more positive stories for us?
Yeah,
this world of outrage we live in.
Yeah, so the bars are open again now if they want to be. People can come. Woo-hoo. Social distancing obviously is a thing. But somebody up near Philadelphia, Lancaster County, has come up with what they're calling the bar block. It's just a Perspex, like, you know, plastic screen that locks to the bar at certain places, and then people can be hanging out pretty close.
Hey, look, you know, this is good news for alcoholics, I have to say. We're here for everybody. And if it's a certain kind of alcoholic, I have to drink in public. And if you want to go sit in a bubble and drink away your troubles, then I think that that's a good thing. To me, I'm not going to go back out until probably, you know, people may get angry with me with this because everything's political now. I'm just telling you myself personally. I think when there's a vaccine, that's when I'm going to completely. I want to go back to a bar when it's a bar and it reminds me of other experiences I've had in bars.
Sure.
I don't want to go to Disney World and keep 6 feet from everybody with a mask. Look, I'm all for it. I'm not some right-wing guy on the radio saying there ain't no need. I'm all for it. It just turns out that I'm at an age and I have an acre of land and I live in a time where Amazon will bring me everything. I'm okay. I'm good. And I will go back out to bars and do all of these other things when I can do it the way I used to do it. And if that's 6 months from now or 7 months from now, I'm cool with that.
So you're not going to be using your Six Flags membership on Monday? Because they're open for members only?
No, but you know what? This is the thing. It's America. There's an awful lot of people who aren't me. It turns out almost everybody in America is not me. And I say, viva la différence. Open it up. Let people go. Let them do what they want to do. For me, I just I feel weird and awkward in a mask. Or, like, I want to go back to work when I can just go back to the station and work like I worked before. I don't want to, you know, hey, Eric, did you turn in your diary of everyone you came in contact with? Hey, look, I understand why that's necessary, but I'm at a time and a place where I can wait it out. Go back to work when I can just work the way people have worked all the time.
You know, speaking of that diary, we started doing that last week here in the office, and so I see the same people every day, so it's just a copy and paste for me.
It's not a diary you have to carry around with you. It's just like throughout the day you kind of fill in the blanks.
Make my notes on my iPhone. I just fill that out, you know, and there you
I
go.
I see. Yeah. Well, it's
Do you talk about your feelings too?
Sometimes, yes.
Dear diary.
How did you feel when you saw that person? Yeah.
Dear diary.
I was like, what kind of mask is that dude wearing? That was a dodgy mask.
I'm beginning to think that Chris Chandler doesn't like me. I say hello, and he doesn't say anything. Maybe he's just really into the news.
Or maybe he doesn't understand what Toodlepip means.
It's a possibility that he may have thought that I was calling him a name of some kind.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very English thing. What does Toodlepip mean?
Cheerio. Like, see you later.
Same. Oh, there's the top of the morning to you.
Yeah, where's it coming from?
Ta-ta. I don't know.
It comes from the conflation of toodles and pips.
Yeah.
Oh, they were a good band too.
You get that's the best kind of day you can have, both toodles and pips. When both are involved, it's a toodle pip.
Yeah, Tim, that double A-side single with R.E.M. is really good. R.E.M. on
yeah, the toodle pips.
Oh, it's brilliant.
And by the way, that should be the name of today's podcast, Toodle Pip.
I've got it.
All right, we got another positive story for me in this world of outrage?
If you want to live to 100 or get close to it.
Hold on a second. That's not necessarily a positive thing. Do you want to live to be 100? Well, I don't know. If people ask me questions, can I snap back quick? Yeah, there's a 100 that I would like to live to when I can converse with people, pretty much take care of my own bathroom duties, things like that. Yes, I'd like to live to be 100. But if I'm just over in the corner in a chair and really the lamp has more life than I do, then no, I don't want to be
okay,
100 at 100.
Well, the headline is How to Live to 100 and Enjoy It. They're saying, scientists are saying that friendships can add years to your life, a good social group
of friends. You guys, I love you guys a lot. I'll tell you that.
Hey, don't believe her. She's just trying to get an extra year. I'm cynical with your friendship. I think this is all very self-centered. The only reason you're acting like my friend is you're trying to live a few more years. And
I mean, don't you want to live a few more years? This could be a symbiotic sort of relationship.
You know what? I hate you so much, I'm willing to lose 3 years.
Wow.
You guys want to go to the movies?
What's this, sir?
Want to go see the newest movie with me?
Yeah, Back to the Future 37 is on. Is playing right now. Let's
remember
go see it.
When we were young?
Yeah, I don't do that.
I don't either.
You know, speaking of 100, Prince Philip, the Queen's husband, was 99 yesterday.
I know, 99. Yes, here we have Prince Philip here.
They keep me locked away. They don't let me drive. I can't go anywhere. My son's trying to be dragged over to the United States. It's best to just live in my castle solo.
That would be, I think that would be your grandson.
He forgets.
Yeah, he's 99.
He forgets, Eric.
He forgets.
Andrew's my grandson?
Oh, that's right. Oh, I thought you were talking about Harry.
No, the Randy one.
Wow, you guys, he's more connected maybe than you guys are.
Well, he knows more about English politics.
I get all the fresh blood.
As you know, he says how he lived to be 99 years old. They did that. Was that adrenal thing? You scare kids and take their blood.
Adrenochrome, just scare my great grandchildren. Take their adrenaline.
And then you infuse that excitable blood into your old body, and voila, you're 99 years young. Great. All right, we'll come back. A little more positivity in this world of outrage from English Nick when we return. All right, English Nick, usually here for Outrage Corner, but we've decided there's plenty of outrage front and center in the nation and the world these days, so we have glad tidings
from English Nick.
Glad tidings. Like the Hot Pockets. Sounds a little Hot Pockets-ish, that. Glad tidings.
Glad tidings. Hot
Pockets. Sue me.
I will. You know what? I'm going to leave that to the Hot Pockets people.
That's right.
I myself am not going to sue you for trying to give us some positive news, so what else you got?
A single session of exercise alters 9,815 molecules in our blood. So this affects your metabolism, your appetite, your tissue repair.
A single session of exercise alters 9,815 molecules in our blood. I'm not exactly sure what that... I don't even know why that's important. There's a lot of molecules in our blood, is there not?
Yeah, and a lot of things change when you do anything.
Yeah, well, she's just arguing against exercise. There's one thing I know. Autumn, there's 9,815 molecules that are perfectly at rest in Autumn's body right now.
Yeah, do I need to be disturbing molecules right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
How were your molecules after that big couple slices of birthday cake yesterday? I saw you
They got all jiggled up. They were buzzing. Autumn, what's going on with you? You got to get back to it or not? What's going on with you? Have you given up? Are you done? 38 years old and you're just going to keep eating?
I haven't given up.
What's for brunch?
There's nothing wrong with me eating. I'm just snacking.
You're
supposed to have like 12 small meals a day.
Is that what it is?
Pieces 12 of cake 12, a day.
Yeah, 12, 12, 4 of them being dessert, apparently.
Yeah, it's the sugar diet. I mean, the sugar diet.
Yeah. She's on a... all candy bar diet.
Well, you only
hey, those
candy
have
bars.
Peanuts. Some of them have peanuts. So those are good for you.
Yeah, they're good things.
Yeah.
English Nick.
Yes.
I want to thank you very much for bringing your glad tidings to our airwaves. I think we're going to do this again in the future. I like glad tidings from English Nick. So tittle poop. Not, no, tittle pop.
Tittle pop. What?
Tittle pip.
You can do whatever you want, Eric.
Not tittle poop. What I mean was, I meant toodle pip.
Cheerio.
Toodle pip.
Tittle whatever.
Toodle pip, mate.
Toodle pip.
Hour two of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I was making jokes about autumn eating, and the truth is, I got to watch myself. This last couple of weeks, I don't know if it's just, I think it's kind of what's going on with the world outside. There's a lot of self-medicating going on with me, and I've developed quite a taste for beer. During most of the lockdown, I was very good at drinking beer on the weekend, even though we had beer in the house. And my wife, for some reason, taunts me with ice cream goodies. We have like 5 refrigerators now, all stocked full. Apparently, we buy new refrigerators in order to use the freezer space for more ice cream. And I've been very, very good through most of this, if not. But I think with the world blowing up the last couple of weeks, there's a lot more kind of, I'm probably not alone, a lot of self-medicating going on. There's people just like, again, more. Everybody's mad. Everybody's angry. I think I'll have another beer. And I realized that maybe I need to have a few less beers. Plus the rain. I haven't been able to walk as much, which I use as an excuse. So from now on, no beer, and I walk even in the rain. Yes, because I'm not going to put this weight on.
Listen to The Cure. And walk around your pool in the rain.
I know when I'm starting to gain a little bit of weight based on how easy or difficult it is for me to remove my wedding ring. And, you know, with all the mistresses I have to remove my wedding ring quite a bit.
So, well, you said you've been leaving the house more. So, I mean,
No, but I mean, that first knuckle. That first knuckle on the wedding ring, if it's when I'm doing well with the 10,000 steps and everything, I can just slide it back and forth, no problem. When I'm starting to pick up weight, I'm putting on that water weight. Why are you shaking your head? It's my body.
That's about water. That's not about your weight. So you're drinking the beer, you're dehydrating your body, so you're bloated, and that's what's happening. It's not about.
I'm gonna tell you something. Pounds. I am not a girl. It is more difficult for women to take off weight. I can put it on and take it off very quickly. And I'm telling you, I know by the wedding ring test. Now, you can say whatever you like, but I will tell you, when it's difficult to slide that wedding ring over the first knuckle, I know I'm in trouble. I know I'm in trouble. So don't tell me. What do you know about the wedding ring test?
About a body, and especially about bloat, because I'm a woman.
Yeah, because you're a woman, that gives you a special insight into bloat.
The moon and I have a special relationship once a month, and she bloats me up.
# bloat. I'm on board. I know it's 2020. I don't want to come off as some sort of misogynist trying to act like this guy knows more about bloat than a female does. So # I respect female bloat. You got some stories for me, Jared Yamamoto?
You're a true ally.
Thank you.
I have an open mic to start things off.
I think we could say I'm down with the movement.
Oh, yeah. Down.
You're down with the thickness.
I don't know what that means. All right, Jared Yamamoto, what's in the news? This is, after all, a news and information station.
I have an open mic to start things off. This is about John Ossoff and winning the Democrat Senate primary.
I was so waiting for the Ossoff jokes, you guys, whenever I heard that this morning. And so would you guys please play some more Ossoff? Thanks, guys. I'm glad he's getting elected. Keep up the good work.
So this guy voted for Ossoff just so that he could hear Tim Andrews do his Ossoff. So let it rip.
Well, I just want to say thank you very much for your vote, because when you vote, that means your voice is being put into a machine and then printed out and then handed to a worker, and your hands are wet and it drips all over the place. But I do got to say thank you so much.
Eric, do you have a ballpoint pen? We can push that little tiny button in the
back. Just reset the Ossoff bot. Well, while that's going on, give us another story or an open mic or whatever you want to do. You can throw anything at me you like, Jared Yamamoto.
All right. I wish I didn't have this one, but it needs to be said. It is news. The federal debt has topped $26 trillion for the first time ever.
Oh, who cares? Hey, the federal debt has been topping the first time ever forever now. Republicans don't care about the debt anymore. Remember when there was a President Obama? I used to see Republicans, could you believe it? They added $10 trillion to the debt. That's why that guy should not be. But now Republicans are in charge, and apparently debts don't matter anymore. I'm giving up on this one. I used to be the libertarian, the fiscal conservative, who would be sounding the alarm. We can't keep on having these debts, but you know what? I have been beaten down. I'm with you. Who cares? Listen, this is my new idea. Print $50 trillion and overnight make everybody in America a millionaire. Just give everybody $1 million and let's just see how that goes. Apparently, I'm not supposed to care that we're $26 trillion in debt. I can't even begin to imagine to try to understand how that gets paid off, but apparently it doesn't matter because they don't talk about it on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or OANN or the Washington Post or ABC News. So if none of these news outlets ever talk about the fact that we're $26 trillion in debt, I think it's about time that this 56-year-old white fella shut up about it too. So when it comes to the debt, I am going to sit down and shut up and just keep listening. By the way, they're going to. I heard just yesterday that Mnuchin says more money for COVID. So we're in debt, but who cares? Let's keep that COVID money machine. Just throw that money out of helicopters. It doesn't matter. It turns out it doesn't matter. We don't ever have to pay it back. Take more money. We're just going to keep printing it. It doesn't matter. If it mattered, CNN would do a panel. They don't care. It's fine. Just keep printing the money, throwing it out there. Oh. Why didn't they do this 300 years ago? Why did it take so long for such enlightened beings to understand that it doesn't matter? You never apparently have to pay this stuff back. So what I say is, if there's $26 trillion in debt, and if I can look at the fact that no news outlets cover that, it must not matter. So let's put it on the table. Let's print $30 trillion or whatever it takes, and overnight make everybody in America a millionaire. And according to this kind of logic and this kind of economics, we would solve every problem, would we not?
Oh, yeah.
If you're 20, why not 27? Why not 28? I want some politician to tell me, is there a number that matters? And if it is, why isn't it $26 trillion? Because Republicans are on board now, too. When Obama was president, Republicans were always talking about the debt and the real unemployment rate. Now Republicans are in power, the debt and the official unemployment rate. That's the one we go by. I'm just giving up. I can't get angry about this anymore. But what I want to know is, if $26 trillion doesn't matter, why don't we just print up $30 trillion more and make everybody a millionaire? Why not? Is it because $27 trillion matters? Get the hell out of here, politician. Don't you even walk in my door and tell me, no, it turns out 27.5, that's the problem. No. If there was a problem, we're way past it. And you, as a politician, just got reelected or elected on the backs of our grandchildren. How do you feel about that? Somebody, or maybe, Eric, you're an idiot. It turns out, you know what? How can we even say we're $26 trillion in debt? Let's just say we're not. I mean, are we going to pay it back? Do we have a plan to pay it back?
Yeah, can we just make it zero?
Yeah, let's just make it zero. In my house, when I'm in debt, I have a plan. I listen to people like Clark Howard to tell me what to pay first. The United States of America, as far as I know, has no plan at all whatsoever to pay back this $26 trillion. If you have no plan to pay it back, that means you're not taking it seriously. So let's just call it zero. The country has no debt. I'm sure if this debt was to cause a problem, CNN, they've got 24 hours. I mean, they would do a panel on it sometime, right? So it's not important. So I'm just going to tell, this is what I want from now on. Politicians, go to hell. Don't tell me why somebody can't have what they want now. Because you can't say $26 trillion is okay, but 26.5 is just a bridge too far. We've gone to the bridge too far, and we haven't drowned yet. So let's just keep on going, and I'll just hope I die before anybody has to pay it back. Next story.
President Trump made news yesterday when he said this.
We're going to start our rallies back up now. We've had a tremendous run at rallies. I don't think there's been an empty seat since we came down in the escalator.
It said you came down the escalator. Not an empty seat. What is your plan? Are you gonna have social distancing? What's your plan with the rallies?
No, I don't like social distancing. So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna get a lot of small rooms, narrow hallways, lots of people, and no masks. Because masks, how can you yell? How can you cheer for your favorite president if you don't have a mask?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you do have a mask, you can't cheer. It's going to be awful. I cram them in there. Let's go.
So that's he's going to start. What is that? A week from Friday? Or
yeah, he's
like
going to go to 17. He's going to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he said this about that.
They've done a great job with COVID, as you know, in the state of Oklahoma. We're going to be coming into Florida, do a big one in Florida, big one in Texas. They're all going to be big. We're going to Arizona. We're going to North Carolina at the appropriate time.
I've been everywhere,
at the
man.
Appropriate. I love it. And then there's always the fact checking that goes on. You know, like they're doing a great job in Oklahoma. It turns out there are 348 new COVID cases. Fact check. Boy, the news is like a kindergarten playground. Fact check. Listening to that clip of excuse me, Ossoff. So these politicians are always calling for change. Time for a change. Hey, did we vote for a change last time? Yeah, it's time to change back. We never actually get to the point of change. It's like every 3 or 4 years we're electing somebody to change. Change.
Talk about this guy.
We need
to
change. We need to stop doing what we're doing and change. And that's what I'll do when you send me to Washington in the fall.
But didn't they vote for change last time? I mean, there's nothing more changing than someone like
the
Trump.
The kind of change
that
President Obama talked about, but not the kind of change that President Trump has talked about. It's the good change.
So we got to change the change.
Loose change is what I'm saying.
You have that clip?
Now is the time to stand up and make a change in this state.
And
we can do it together.
Change. We just voted for change. Who hasn't voted
for change? Can you break a five?
Oh, you're just looking for change. Okay, all right.
Spare change and loose change are the two things that we need to address this fall when you send me to Washington.
You know, there's a change gap. There's an income. There's a change gap. That's another thing always. We got to address this gap. There's so many gaps that have to be addressed.
Some people have quarters in their pockets. Other people have pennies and nickels. And you can't do anything with a penny and a nickel unless it costs 6 cents. So that's why you need... I'll give everybody 2 bits, which is a quarter. So I'll give you 4 bits, which will make you have 50 cents. Thank you. Send me to Washington.
I tell you, this is a change candidate. You gotta change stuff. Yes, Jared.
I feel like Ossoff is the kind of candidate with the way he generalizes his speeches that, you know, he would have a switch on the back that could almost make him sound like a Republican as well, too.
Oh, look, believe
just,
me.
He's so generic.
If he was living in a Republican state and he was John Ossoff, he'd be running for Senate as a Republican. He's running as a politician.
I think that we should let due process take its course, and if a community decides to get rid of a Confederate memorial, then we will let them do it. No, I think that's what we have to do. And I also think that we need to listen to President Trump. He's leading us, and I think he's a good guy.
This is alternate universe Ossoff. If he'd been born in a red state.
We need to cut taxes like they've never been cut before. In fact, I don't want anyone to pay unnecessary taxes. And that's why I'm running for the U.S. Senate here in the state of Oklahoma.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get John Ossoff. I'm playing with this thing. My wife.
Yeah, what is that?
It's
your jock strap?
Well, that's what I was saying. It's a face mask. It's made of cloth that my wife made. It's cotton. And when I put it on, it looks like I have a jock strap on my face.
It does.
That hasn't happened since my college years. I bring this up because Fauci, I guess he was away for a while. You done self-isolating? You were self-isolating for a while, and now you're showing up.
I was self-isolating because I thought for a minute that it was over, but I didn't want to go crazy or anything. But listen, later today I'm recording an episode of the Joe Rogan podcast because, let me tell you, he's got a great sativa I've been wanting to try. We're gonna burn a spliff. We're each going to have our own. We're not going to go back and forth. And
is
then
that
maybe
what
at the end of the night, what?
Is that what your is that your recommendation? Single joints for the entire party, no passing.
Loose joints for everybody. I don't think you should be bogarting. Well, in this case, yes, you bogart your loose joint, but no passing back and forth. And I'm gonna try DMT today because maybe the spirit people have an idea of how to wipe out COVID.
Yeah, you can find out.
You don't know until you try.
You don't.
Yeah, with the third eye, you basically.
I've done LSD, I've done mushrooms, I've done mescaline. Now it's time to go real deep. I'm going to take a deep dive into the DMT, and if that does well, I'm going to go to Peru for 2 weeks and do ayahuasca.
So Fauci comes out, and I don't know, I'm so confused. The World Health Organization, a couple days ago, they came out and said, hey, it turns out the asymptomatic, this concept that it's happening a lot, that asymptomatic carriers are giving the COVID to other people. It's very rare, they say. Then Fauci comes out and says, no, that's not true. That's not true, right? You don't.
They're lying. This. The WHO is nothing but a bunch of liars. I've been telling you this since day one.
So, and then I saw that the WHO pulled it back, but the lady's like, well, I was just giving facts, but they were out of context. I have no idea what is politics and what is facts anymore, or are there certain facts that the narrative says we don't want to hear those right now? Is it untrue, or is it just unwise to put that message out there now? They're called the World Health Organization. They ought to be able to, if they come out with a statement that says, it turns out it's very rare for asymptomatic carriers to give the disease, then that should be it. But it's a back and forth. And then the lady says, well, I was just giving facts out of context. Well, were they facts? It's impossible to know, because it seems like there's facts, and whenever possible, those facts should get out there, so long as it's the kind of facts that people want to hear about right now at this time. But a fact is a fact is a fact, right? 2 + 2 = 4, whether you like it or not, whether it gives you a good day or a bad day. Those are the only real facts. Sorry, millennials. There's no such thing as your truth. There's a truth. 2 + 2 = 4. Today, tomorrow, on Earth, the moon, on Jupiter, in outer space, 2 + 2 = 4. That's the only kind of fact there is. And I just want the facts. I really don't care about whether or not it enhances the proper narrative. Where can I go for real, real facts? Good news. I found my Apple Pencil.
Yeah.
All is right with the world. You. All right, Jared Yamamoto. I'm asking you. Now we are going to do listicles next.
Yes, we are.
My understanding is. I have a few, actually, things. That I don't know if they're going to be ever going to be full segments on the show, but I've forced Jared Yamamoto to make sounders just in case.
Oh, I've been in the sounder factory for a couple days now.
Sounder factory. Let's see how. Let's go through your sounders and see. I don't know if we'll ever use these things. Here's the first one.
Ridiculous headline.
That's great.
I like it.
Nice job, Jared.
Thank you.
The thing is, I had all these ideas and then I never found stories for them. So, well, they're here. I've seen some very, very ridiculous headlines. Here's another one. I figure maybe it passed. Maybe the moment passed. Maybe it was like in the middle of last week when we could have had a whole segment on this. But there are days of the news where we could do an entire segment with this sounder.
I'm sorry. Apologies in the news.
So many people are apologizing. But it might make it absolutely a great single segment. Here's another one that we may use in the future.
All right, who's canceled today?
And then we would go through the news and we'd find out who's been canceled today. Sometimes people get canceled from like 20 years ago, and sometimes they get canceled from today. And who was the guy from The Flash? I don't watch The Flash.
Oh, yeah.
But he just got fired. Does anybody
couple
watch The
from
Flash?
Vanderpump Rules got fired.
Vanderpump Rules, those people got fired. Mm-hmm. I see these stories and I'm like, I don't care about
Hartley Sawyer is the guy from The Flash.
Yeah, is he the same guy who like knocked some lady down in Europe a couple months ago? I don't and got away with that. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, he had
sure.
a confrontation, and
then is it from tweets from 20 years ago or 10 years ago? It's not recent tweets, right? So there you go. So who are the people on Vanderpump Rules who were fired?
Stassi and Kristen, they were both fired.
And that's. I just want to wrap it up with a bow. That's.
All right, who's canceled today?
You know, it's important. You know, you go to your next dinner party, 10 people or less, of course, and you want to be up on the news. You want to know who's been canceled today. You don't look like a fool and think that you start talking about that guy that you like so much who plays the Flash. And people say, oh, you're so out of it. Don't you know? He was canceled 2 days ago. Oh, I'm sorry, Evan. I was busy.
Yeah, I'm late on the doctrine. I didn't listen to the segment.
I'm not keeping up on who's been canceled. There's so many of them. It comes at you fast and furious. All right, let's do this. Listicles.
Listicles. Millennials write them and we read them.
Worst sounder ever.
I love it.
My radio guru / consultant, Clive Cliverson, tells me I need to keep my finger on the pulse and stay in touch with these millennials. And he says they don't like to read essays or articles. No. They like things presented to them in little bits, little chunks called listicles, right?
Little snackable things they could pop in their mouths and, you know, just not have to worry about after they eat it.
Thank you, Clive Cliverson. Yeah. All right, so these are, what are these all from BuzzFeed? Didn't BuzzFeed invent the listicle?
No, believe it or not, many of them are from BuzzFeed, but I actually found a lot last night, so they're from all over the place.
Lately, I just think when they talk about the dumbing down of America, it was like I see like CBS News has listicles now. Forbes has listicles. Okay. Forbes and CBS News are not elevating people to where they used to be. They're just going to come down there and listicle it out with the folks. With the folks. All right, what do you have? What do we have in listicles?
I'm going to give you a choice for this first one here, okay? So the It is a BuzzFeed listicle, so just be wary. 15 powerful and moving things that kids wrote about life in quarantine.
Yeah.
No thanks.
I hate to conflate things. Can I tell you something? Can I be a little bit controversial? You know, I have a little bit of a shock jock background, and sometimes I'll say things, and I just don't give a damn. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this right now. I honestly really do not care what kids think about anything. I'm just going to lay it out there. I do not care what kids think about anything. I wish everyone the best of luck. I hope that most children find themselves in safe and secure homes and good family situation. But when it comes to what kids think about X, Y, or Z, I take X, Y, and Z off the table. I don't care what
you don't
kids
care
think about it. They have small little minds.
Little
they
Joshua don't really has some thoughts.
Yeah, the little Joshua. Keep them to yourself.
I didn't like having to not get ice cream for days.
Yeah, that's great. What
about 9-year-old Manny? I feel like I'm stuck in a hot dog bun and I cannot get out. I can't see my friends. I can't go outside. I can't go to fun places.
That 9-year-old has no idea that a hot dog bun isn't a terrible analogy for what he's going through. I can't take a 9-year-old seriously. I just wish him the best of luck. I don't know if you've noticed this about kids, but compared to most adults, they're pretty stupid. I don't know why anyone would go to children for wisdom. They don't know about the world. Think about yourself when you were like 10 years
old. Exactly, Eric. That's why we go to them.
Oh, because they don't know anything
about the world. They don't know. They're not corrupted.
Yeah. I need my information from adults who've been corrupted and understand the world around them. You remember when you were 10? What does anybody, all these people, hey, let's listen to the kids. Is there anything, if you're 35 or older, that you still agree with your 10-year-old self on? On anything other than I love my parents. And that may be rocky.
Yeah, even that could be different.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't really know my parents were alcoholics until I turned 14 or 15.
I still think the Muppet Movie soundtrack is the best album ever released in the history of music.
So you do agree with your 10-year-old self on something.
Just on that.
All right, so I skipped that. What was the other choice?
All right, here's your other choice. This is from HuffPost here. 15 things therapists do when they're worried about the future. You interested in 15, that one?
So we're going to analyze the therapist. We really. So now we're sitting the therapist down on. Hey, lay down on the couch, therapist, and we'll analyze your behavior when things are going on. You know, give me a couple.
All right,
15.
So this is the third one on the list. This is applying. Have you ever heard of this technique before? The aware technique.
Well, hold on. I don't do therapy, although I believe in it. Myself, personally, I just don't want people knowing my inner thoughts. They freak me out. So I'm not going to tell them to somebody else. But I believe in therapy. I think it's good, the talking therapy. It's, especially as the world is more secularized. You need places to go talk because people aren't as religious as they used to be. You know, Catholics, what do you think... the confession is, really? It's kind of therapy. Things are bothering you. You get it off your chest, and then the priest gives you, hey, do your Hail Marys, and you go through that whole ritual, and it's a way of working through your problems. But people aren't as religious as they used to be, so I recognize you need therapy. It's just not for me. I fix myself. So I don't know a lot of the jargon. Now, Autumn is, if Autumn could blink her eyes and not have to work toward it, I think she'd actually would become a therapist if it wasn't for all the studying and the things that have to go on between here and there.
And like having to hear people's really sad things.
All right,
if I could just quit also at the blink of an eye, then I think I would do it.
That's interesting. The world's worst therapist, somebody who starts crying. Like you start telling your story, your life story, you look over, your therapist is crying.
I think it would more be like I would just be annoyed. Like, can you get your stuff together?
Well, that's how I would be. I would be like, to me, Eric Von Hessler is a therapist. You got a couch, you lay down, you tell me, I'll listen. But the advice is always the same. Yeah, that's pretty bad. But you know what? You need to forget about all that and get out there and get moving. Start moving around. Yeah, that's bad. But you know what? It's all in the past. So
you don't really give advice, but okay, Eric. Okay. Yeah. It's not really about giving advice as a therapist, but you know.
I thought therapists were supposed to give you advice.
No.
They let you find your truth. Or
what a great job. I want to do that. Just have you found it yet? Okay. The bill's in the mail. As long as I've allowed you some space where you can find out how to heal yourself, the bill is in the mail. I'm glad this has all been successful. All right, so what else? What other behaviors of when they're freaking out? What is aware? I don't know.
So Erica Undergrove, she's a therapist in New York City, uses the aware system.
Stop. That sounds like a therapist name. Erica Undergrove. She had to be a therapist. I mean, that's just, is it Erica with a K by any chance? Erica Undergrove.
It is with a K, yes.
E-R-Y-K-A-H.
Erica Undergrove. Had to be
Dr. Undergrove, thank you.
If that's her married name, I'm sure she picked the guy based on the best therapist last name.
And so she uses the aware system to work through an anxious cycle. And the aware system is accept that you are feeling anxious and directly identify it as what you're feeling.
Yeah.
Watch.
Stop.
The anxiety.
Stop. All right. I am so sick and tired of this. The fact that you can turn anything into a, well, I'm blanking on the word,
an acronym.
I get suspicious at that point. Okay, aware, AWARE.
Yeah.
Did every letter work out perfectly, or did you fudge something to make the E work or the R work? Let's just go through what they still. So A is?
It's accept that you are feeling anxious.
All right, and what's, just give me the first word, W?
Watch.
A,
act normal.
R,
repeat.
Act normal.
Repeat. There's the fudge right there.
Yeah.
All right, we haven't even gotten to E. What's E?
Expect.
Come on. This is as soon as you start with the whole acronym thing. It's like the politicians that makes the bill sound like they're not ripping you off, taking your taxpayer money and throwing it, burning it once it gets to Washington D.C. because they give it a great acronym name.
Yeah. The candy.
Yeah.
Prop.
Well, it's the, and if it's not acronyms, it's just the, well, it's the sunny and 72 degrees every day bill. The,
are you against
great,
that?
The Great Weather Act. So I'm throwing this one out the window. Just anything with an acronym, you fudged for at least one of the letters because you're writing a book and you want people to use your aware system.
All right, well, what about this one? This is from therapist Jeffrey Casanova, I believe is how you say it.
Casanova.
Casanova.
No, this guy loves being a therapist.
Find
Casanova.
He says to sit in your anxiety for a while. Stop. It might
sit in your anxiety for. Now, yes. This is my kind of therapist. You know what? Just sit in your anxiety. You stew in it for a while. You smell that? Yeah, it's getting disgusting, this anxiety, huh? Stew in it. Bathe. That's the kind of therapist. You need to bathe in your anxiety right here in the office. Take it off. I got the anxiety tank over here. You
so
go
far,
bathe
I agree. I agree with this therapist so far.
Make love to your anxiety. Show it who's boss.
And Jeffrey does say, it sounds counterintuitive, but the point is to normalize the feeling because anxiety is natural.
You know what I'm tired of? The term normalize. I got an idea. Just act the way you act when no one's asking you how you're acting. That's normal. You don't have to have a program for normalization. Normal is what happens when you don't have a plan, right? Normal is if the sun is going to be up in the sky tomorrow. That's normal. I don't have to plan for that. I don't have to do anything to make that happen. I don't have to have a plan to make normal happen. I help you people enjoy your therapy. I'm just saying, I'm above it. I'm stronger than that.
Get your daily dose of comic relief with Eric Von Hassler mornings at 9. Then shake off the daily stress.
And it's gonna be all right.
With Mark Arum weeknights at 6 on 95.5 WSB.
All right, Jared, give me another listicle.
All right, this one comes from CNN _. 50 gifts, perfect for any dad this Father's Day. You interested in that?
Is Father's Day coming up very soon? I'll tell you what.
It's not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
Yeah, I think this time I'm just going to... I want a prostitute. but a classy. I don't want one of these street whores. A classy prostitute this time around. I'm 56. We've been married 32 years. That's what I want this. I want to... Is that on your listicle list there?
I'm not seeing it on this one. Okay. Maybe it's number
50. It said any dad. If you would have said 50 things that you can get for any dad if that dad knew no one was watching or judging, I think prostitutes... Classy, of course, not a street whore. Would be at the top. Would be at the top of the list. Very quickly, I'll tell you what I like.
This is what they have at the top here: the What I Love About Dad Fill in the Blank Gift Journal. It's $11.80 on Amazon.
Yeah. No thanks.
No dad. You know what dad wants? Dad wants to be left alone. Can dad be left alone? I got news for you. So long as dad is sane and stable, dad's cool. Just give him a day off. Don't force him to go do this, that, and the other thing to celebrate his day, because dad is just humoring you. What dad wants is one day to be left alone. It's called peace and quiet. Hour 3 of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. Sometimes you see headlines, and even if they're kind of shocking, they're not surprising. I saw this at the top of the New York Post stuff today. Miss Hitler contestant among neo-Nazis jailed for belonging to terror group. Maybe shocking, but not surprising. I didn't win the Miss Hitler contest. I was just in the Miss Hitler contest.
The runner-up.
So you're telling me a lady who entered a contest to be named Miss Hitler turned out to be affiliated with terrorists. What a surprise. Let's do this.
What's the market doing with Money Matters, Wes Moss?
Wes Moss, host of Money Matters right here, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. How are you, sir?
I believe Wes is still... Oh, he's here. Okay, awesome.
There you go. All right.
Wes is still here.
Excellent.
I believe that I am hearing Wes Moss's voice right now.
It's a recording.
Look, there are people. There is a conversation. There is a discussion. There is a debate. But I will say that I believe that this is, in fact, the real Wes Moss that we're hearing right now. And we're going to go with that. Wes, what do we? We have Wes on to talk about the COVID economy. We're not always talking about Wall Street. But just to put this in economic terms, what the hell is going on today? Haven't they lost like 1,000 points already?
Yeah, we did. A couple of thoughts. At least the headlines today, at least what the media has picked up on, is a, quote, second wave. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's driving this. I mean, the Federal Reserve spoke yesterday. Jerome Powell came out and basically said, we're going to keep interest rates low all the way until 2022 or virtually at zero. Yeah. That doesn't necessarily inspire a whole lot of confidence because lower rates are effectively a medicine for an ailing economy. So that doesn't necessarily, even though the market likes lower rates, that mm-hmm. wasn't a huge confidence booster. But on the other side of that equation, he also said, we will continue to do whatever it takes from an asset purchase perspective to make sure the financial system's in good shape. So there's really was not negative news out of the Fed. It just wasn't decidedly
bullish.
Optimistic. Right. Yeah. Right. But I think today's sell-off is probably more the media's grabbing on to the fact that Arizona and Arkansas are seeing cases higher. You're seeing cases higher in Texas and Florida. But again, as you and I both know, there are a ton of different metrics to look at, and statistics, you can effectively make them seem good or bad. I've been trying to really keep as objective as humanly possible. So I've relooked at the numbers, and actually, even though Texas infections are up 56%, they've gone from about 1,000 per day to 1,500 per day, mm-hmm. they're still way below the U.S. average. So the U.S. average cases new cases per million is 67. So 67 new cases per million. Texas is still below that. Texas is 59. So it's well below the national average. And their testing is up almost 100%.
Well, that's my question. When I see these numbers, my question is, well, are we just testing more and knowing more? Do we have more information now than we did? So if it's spiking, if it's supposed to be a second wave, but in reality we're testing more, had we been testing this much 6 weeks ago, maybe we would see that it's not as high as it used to be. Am I making any sense there? More testing means you're going to find out how many more people actually have it. 6 weeks ago, we didn't know necessarily how many people had it. We knew hospitalizations. Now, I think new hospitalizations, that seems like a metric that's pretty solid, don't you?
I'm glad you asked. I go over these numbers every morning with my team, and that's exactly what we looked at today. I said, if we were to pick one metric, because as I go through the data, you can make a case that actually, if you really here, let me give you two quick pieces of very important data that are objective. The United States recorded, this is just as of today, as of yesterday's data, the U.S. as a whole recorded its lowest five-day average increase in new cases since the whole beginning of this whole thing. It's down to 1%. It's down to 1%. Cases are growing at 1% per day since the beginning of the pandemic. So that's important, but I also, that number needs to kind of come down every day by day or week by week anyway, because it's they're measuring that on the whole totality of cases, which gets bigger and bigger. So to your point, if that's not a great metric to look at, what's a better one? Well, to your point, it's hospitalizations. And you can, and we can graph hospitalizations. Almost every state reports hospitalizations. And if you go back to April 15th, we were hospitalizing 60,000 people, okay, on average in a given day. Today, that's literally come down almost in lockstep every single day on average. And now we're at 30,000. As of yesterday, 30,200 people. So, you know, that to me is the real measure. Is the crisis getting better or worse? It's clearly getting better across the nation as a whole, but there are a couple hotspots. Arkansas is a little bit of a hotspot. Arizona is a little bit of a hotspot. I don't think Texas and Florida at this point is anywhere close to a hotspot, even though that statistically some of the numbers have jumped a little bit.
Well, you know, that's the thing that we have to look at here is the way that the goalpost has been moved on this. In the beginning, we talked about being able to manage COVID-19. What do I mean by manage? Meaning that our hospitals would not be overwhelmed, the number of sick would not overwhelm the ability to get equipment, necessary medical equipment, gowns, masks, ventilators. If we go back a few weeks, what we were trying to do was get our arms around this thing so that we could manage it. Somewhere in between, that changed to, no, we're trying to basically make sure that no one ever gets COVID-19 again. I don't know who made that change and when it was accepted, but it seems like that's what we talk about now. Don't get me wrong. If you want to make the argument that that should be our policy, I'm fine with that. I may disagree with that, but I'm fine with that. But when we went into lockdown, the concept was to flatten the curve. Why? So that our hospitals and health workers would not be overwhelmed with new patients. It seems to me if that was the goal that we stuck to, so far we have met that goal, right?
Couple pieces of data on that. So Florida, as an example, that is, it's in the headlines today as part of the reason the market is down is that spikes in Texas and Florida. Those are big states, are important, a lot of people, and important to watch. And the new daily infections in Florida up 85%. Right, that sounds pretty bad since the end of May. Pretty bad. But testing is up 35%, so that's part of it. So it's not just testing. The test positive rate, got to look at that number too. That's all the way down to 4.3%. So that's a really low number relative to the rest of the country. So that's good. It's supposed to be under 10. We want it under 10. It's all the way at 4.3. But here you go. New hospitalizations or new hospital admissions in Florida are down 8% week over week, and they're down 22% month over month. So, again, isn't that what's important?
Yeah. I mean, we cannot eradicate COVID-19. Hopefully we'll get a vaccine. We can't eradicate it. Our fear a few months ago when we went into lockdown was we were going to get so many new patients, it would overwhelm the healthcare industry, and people would be dying simply because they couldn't get a ventilator. Now, here's a story. This, as far as I know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, no one in America died of COVID-19 because they couldn't get a ventilator when they needed one. Am I wrong? That seems, even when I say that, that seems, well, that's a pretty big thing to say. I guess what I'm saying is I haven't read about anybody in America dying simply because we have 30 patients and we only have 25 ventilators. That's not a situation. Now, Italy dealt with that. Doctors had to make, healthcare workers had to make choices about who got the ventilator based on who they thought had a better chance of coming through it. But I don't believe that ever happened here in America.
As far as I can tell, that's correct. In fact, even in places like New York where there was a really big surge, there were just enough. However, what is also interesting about this is that here we are 3-4 months into this crisis now, or 5 months in, and now it's really questionable whether a ventilator is really works or helps a patient or not anyway, right? In the beginning, it seemed like that was a key, and I think what physicians have learned, for the most part, it's not necessarily exactly the perfect prescription for helping people through this.
It's difficult. Those kind of studies are sort of difficult because, and I don't know, I'm not taking a side on this, but ventilators were obviously given to the people who had the worst cases and were closest to death, right? So you may find that, hey, we were given these ventilators and more people died, but it may be because they were the worst cases to begin with. Anyway, we'll talk more about the COVID economy when we get back. Hey, Wes Moss, host of Money Matters right here on WSB, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. So I wake up this morning, and it's like this is happening faster and faster and faster. Now we're $26 trillion in debt. Last month it was 25. Month before that it was 24. We're tacking on $1 trillion of debt a month through this COVID thing. I want to ask you a question. You're not an official economist, but you're an economist type. Put you in that group. Should I just...
I did study. That's what my degree... University of North Carolina. Well, I did study economics and I use it every day, but I didn't go the economist route as a full-time profession. Investment advice is a little different.
You didn't want to be stuck on a campus being lectured to by a sociology professor. So you wanted to get out in the real world and use your knowledge to help other people make money. That's the way it should be. I mean, just tell me this with your economist hat. As a fiscal conservative / libertarian that I am on economic matters, should I just give up caring about how big? I mean, nobody seems to care. Nope, there are no conversations in America about the fact that we're at $26 trillion in debt. Is it something that we ever even intend to pay back in the, you know, in the classic sense of paying it down? There's no way to do that, right? There's no way to come up with a program so that in the next 5 years we pay down the $26 trillion. I mean, what is it? Does it even matter? What is
Well, it does matter because at some point, again, the problem with this the mounting debt is that it has never become – it's important, but it isn't an emergency at any given day, and there's always another emergency that might edge it out. And that's the problem. That's why it's never been addressed. I don't think it gets addressed until – you have something more dramatic like a downgrade of our credit in the United States and all of a sudden we can't issue new treasuries. And then we hit – then there will be a time when we really do have to start to pay it back because other countries – there might be another country that emerges that has a more stable currency. Because remember, if we can easily issue debt and we can easily issue new U.S. dollars because we are still the reserve currency on the planet.
Ah, you see, now you're really hitting on something. So let's just talk reality, not responsible, not what's the responsible thing to do. In reality, we can keep doing this so long as we are still the big kahuna economically on the planet. As long as we're still reserve, basically for the world. The dollar.
The world's reserve currency, exactly.
Is the dollar bill. So as long as that is true, people are not going to make us pay up because they have more to lose, right? They still want to invest here because they'll always see more of a future for their money. So as long as we maintain and still have the world's reserve currency in the dollar bill, we can kind of keep doing this, right? We're not going to get in trouble until... Yeah, okay. So if China somehow in 20 or 30 years was seen as more of a stable currency, then we'd be in trouble.
Exactly. No, that's exactly right. Is that even as bad as the fiscal scenario is here in the United States, we have the greatest ability to grow out of it if we actually wanted to. We have the largest, most productive economy. We could still pay this down if we ended up getting our budget, let's say, in order. It's very possible that if we focus on it, we could do it. And we continue to still be on a relative basis, right? The strongest economy on the planet.
And isn't
it's actually by a long shot. At least for
yeah,
now.
Well, I would argue that's a lot to do with our court system because I think around the world in business, people feel like they'll get a fair shake. You win some, you lose some. But if you sign a contract in the United States of America and then there's a problem, I feel like there's a belief that the court system is still strong. I think that's one of the major underpinnings. But isn't it ironic that in order to get the most socialist-style programs, you need a thriving capitalist country like the United States of America so that you can keep printing money and borrowing money in order to have more social programs. Isn't that an irony?
It is. It really is. And I think that at some point...
Hold on, Alanis Morissette.
It's not ironic.
You don't know what ironic is. A fly in your chardonnay.
I wrote a
is
whole
ironic.
Song about
yeah, a whole
irony.
Song. It was totally wrong. The fly in your chardonnay is not ironic. It's just a bummer.
it goes back to our ability, if we wanted to be fiscally responsible, we could. What is ironic, and you bring this up, if you were to ask Warren Buffett, what are the three tenets of the United States that makes us the most productive economy on the planet? In that top three, he would say the rule of law. The rule of law is the foundation of any sort of real economy because you're not worried about having a government come in and take your money. I mean, and,
this is what
and
this
you
is
have
where
property
this is,
rights.
And it's something that China doesn't understand. If China wanted to take on the United States and actually become a bigger superpower, there's one thing they need to do that apparently they'll never do. It's called freedom. There's another little irony right there. If the Chinese actually created a constitutional republic and allowed freedom to flourish all over, they would actually have a shot at taking on the United States. But if you're a business owner, you know that the scale is against you in a Chinese court if there's a contract dispute or if you're opening a business in Iran, for example. But in the United States, I think people from all over the world feel like the rule of law does exist and they can trust the contract system. Wes Moss, host of Money Matters, right here every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you, sir. We'll speak to you again tomorrow morning. Well, before we dive straight into Doctrine Extra, I was struck by something earlier. Jerry, can you play again the audio Trump talking about going back on the rally tour, getting out there and doing the rallies again. Go ahead and hit that audio again. It's something that stuck out to me.
We're going to start our rallies back up now. We've had a tremendous run at rallies. I don't think there's been an empty seat and since we came down in the escalator.
Okay, stop right there. That's it. Yeah, this is Mr. President, this nostalgia for the escalator was fine. It was great, but it was years ago. I think you really have to let that go.
Everyone remembers that day when I shocked the world and came down the elevator. Could have been stairs, could have been an elevator, but it was not either of those. It was an escalator. Go ahead.
It's the escalator. I'm sorry. Yes, when you came down the big escalator.
The big escalator.
This is 2020. I know that was a big day with the spit thing on the lip during the whole
right.
All that. But I really think you need to start looking forward. There's a lot of, like, when you go back on the rallies, what are you going to do? Are you going to do the old hits?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is we're going to have a big stage production. Is going to be an escalator, and I'm going to come down the escalator, and then I'm going to do what all the greats do. I'm going to do what Elton John does. I'm going to play the hits.
Play the hits.
Lock Her Up, Crazy Nancy, Sleepy Joe. You're going to hear them all.
Yeah, I just think that there's a little too much nostalgia. You're always talking about that night in November when we shocked the world. That's 4 years ago. A lot of people
love that night. They tell me, why don't you talk more about that escalator? I mean, no one's ever come down an escalator like that in the history of escalators. Look, as far as I know.
Yeah, as the history of escalators, I think you're the first one to start a successful run for the White House. There's no doubt about that.
Abe Lincoln didn't do it. I'm just saying. He was a great guy, and I love Abe Lincoln. Andrew Jackson, they didn't have him.
No, they did not use an escalator.
Maybe Harry Truman. I don't know.
No, I don't.
Certainly
so.
Not FDR.
You're the escalator guy.
When you think of escalators, think of Trump.
You need to be forward thinking, not thinking about the last campaign. You know, you ever hear this expression, generals lose the war, like they're fighting the last battle, because when you win something in a certain way, the danger is that you think that's the way to win every time. I don't know. Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you'll do it exactly the same way. I don't know.
Don't get me started on the generals. A lot of these generals, they don't understand what it is to be American. I mean, they wear the uniform, but they don't care. They don't support. President Trump.
They don't understand what it is to ride down an escalator.
No, they don't. Look, maybe we'll go up. We'll go up this time. Look, I'll start at the bottom. I'll go up.
There's the difference.
Oh, like walk against it?
Yeah. A little bit of a different slant. That's what I'm talking about. A different take on the 2020 election.
Like when you're a kid and you're at the mall and your parents drop you off at the mall, you spit on it and then you wait for it to come back around, or maybe that's a good prank on an escalator. Andrews doesn't admit to doing.
Hey, Mr. President, can I ask you a question? Why Oklahoma? I feel like Oklahoma, you pretty much have it pretty secured. I mean, that seems like a safe place to go.
Oklahoma, the big state.
Big.
Flat. A lot of trains, a lot of oil, big oil trains, big and flat. That's what I like, big and flat.
Plenty of room for large escalators.
Escalators, large crowd. We can have a big crowd crammed into a very tiny room. In fact, I want everybody to get in a train depot, just as many as you can.
And cough on one another if possible.
Please get it out of your system. Cough it out. That's what we say here in the White House. Cough it out. I tell Mike Pence every day, cough it out.
Right, let's do this.
It's the stories we just couldn't miss. It's the Doctrine Extra.
All right, Jared Yamamoto, what are the stories that we just couldn't miss?
Oh, this one is one we could not miss. In an effort to stop a second wave of COVID, New York City health officials are advising kinky Zoom parties and wearing a mask during sexual activity. So that way,
this is New York City. I know that we're in Atlanta, but you get this. Hey, health officials, stop trying to be cool. Stop trying to be. You read this thing, and New York City is the worst at this because they have the most sexually enlightened health officials. So I'm looking at this. It actually comes from their latest update on sex and COVID-19. During COVID-19, wearing a face covering that covers your nose and mouth is a good way to add a layer of protection during sex. Can I point something out here that's just obvious and true? You cannot have sex and practice social distancing at the same time.
Nope.
You have to choose one or the other. There is no safe, socially distanced, although, and again, New York City, we're just so cool and enlightened and aware. We're not these old stiff doctors that you're used to from your parents' day. No, we understand that people are people and they have sex. So let's give you nothing better than health officials giving it's not awkward at all, getting sex advice from health officials. It says here, while the agency does not outright recommend casual sex for those who live a more adventurous lifestyle, the advisory says, this is from the New York Post, the advisory says, make it a little kinky. Okay, can I stop right there? No government advice on anything should ever have the line, make it a little kinky. These are not things you should hear from the government. Make it a little kinky. Be creative with sexual positions and physical barriers, like walls, that allow sexual contact while preventing close face-to-face contact. Oh. Excuse me, am I wrong here? Are they suggesting glory holes? Am
That's
I getting this wrong?
This is
sometime your doctor can be a little too hip, and it's just awkward. It's just awkward. Hey, honey, you know what? I love you. And we're in lockdown, and I want to have sex with you. Oh, my goodness. I could never have enough sex with you. But I also want to be responsible. So I drilled a hole in the bedroom wall. You'll be in the living room. I'll be in the bedroom. We're going to have fun. But more importantly, we're going to have fun while being responsible. Well, this advice...
Could you unzip my mask?
No, because the fact that your mask is zipped has nothing to do with COVID-19. It's just my thing.
Oh.
This is so sexy.
Yeah, I'm feeling real hot right now.
Oh, so hot.
In New York City, are they encouraging people to go to what we used to call adult bookstores and engage in responsible sex? That's what it sounds like.
Tokens, please.
Hey, you know what? I think that should be subsidized. We need the Democrats. We need a new thing where we can get we can all get a check every month so we can pay for the tokens at the adult bookstore so we can have safe, responsible sex. Yeah, I believe that Jared is about to do a story from the Daily Star, which is an English tabloid. And I'm looking at all the other stories around it, and there's one that's kind of a redundancy thing here. Mysterious pool unexplored by humans discovered 700 feet below ground in Erie Cave. Isn't every cave an Erie Cave? Has anybody walked into a cave? Oh, my goodness. This is just so comfortable.
So light and airy in here.
So light and airy. Every cave, if it's a cave, especially it's 700 feet below Earth, isn't every cave an Erie Cave? That's a question. I know it's late in the show and you want answers. You come to WSB, you're looking for answers, and the host only throws more questions out there. But that's my question of the day. Isn't every cave an Erie Cave? Now get to the main story, Jared.
Well, before we went into the break, you were ripping on these New York City health officials, but I think I found something that you may agree with them on. That is, back in March, Eric, New York City health officials suggested self-pleasure amongst New Yorkers, so that way they avoided contact with each other.
You're trying to be somewhat shocking there, but I will tell you something. As a man of my age, you know, I'm now the old double nickel.
And a penny.
Yeah, I'm 56 years of age. I just tell you that I think that really, if I look back on all of life, almost all real pleasure is self-pleasure. And I'm not just talking about in the shocking way. I'm just talking about there's nothing worse in life. You see a movie. Hey, that's a great movie. I'm going to tell my friends about it. They're like, no, I didn't care for it. Self-pleasure. If you like the movie, just keep it to yourself. Nothing worse than hearing a new album. Man, my friends are going to love this album. I'll tell them about the album. Self-pleasure. It's okay to enjoy the album yourself and take all of your pleasure from it and keep it to yourself. I've really, as I turn the old double nickel
and a penny,
I realize that happiness, if it does exist anywhere out there, is going to be found through self-pleasure. And I'm not talking about the shock jockery. I'm not talking about the sexual way, although I'm including it. I'm not exclusively talking about that. And remember this, when it comes to self-pleasure, you only have to deal with one person in the room, passing gas. All right, what's the story?
All right, as promised, another story about sex and COVID. Prime Minister Boris Johnson confirmed that singletons can have sex with people they don't live with on Saturday.
So start, good. Is it one, good. Is it like the purge, or does it start?
Yeah, it's just Saturday. It's a one-day thing.
Starting with Saturday, you can have sex with strangers in the UK. Is that what
Exactly, yes.
My once-a-week Roger Ring.
I'm sorry, sir?
I say, it's me once-a-week Roger Ring. Gonna go out and find me a bird. I'm gonna give her a snog. Any slag will do. I got £5. Who's in line for that?
Oh, I'll do it. It's all right.
All right, £3 for you.
I thought you'd call him a slag. I thought guys were slags. Am I wrong? What's the
no,
guy?
No, ladies are slags. It's like, I think in an English, like your American, it's like slut.
Oh, I see. So slags and birds.
No.
What do you call guys? Isn't there a nickname?
A bloke. Oh, a bloke, okay. Honor.
Yeah. Any so old bloke will do.
So you're the bloke looking for a bird.
I'm a bloke. I got a bottle full of pills I haven't been able to touch in 2 months. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Sure. How many you got? Could I take one? Just see
no,
if it works.
No, you can't take these. They're for men. They're for men only.
Yeah, but like I could, and then we could just like
you could, but then
like.
He would pass out, and then it wouldn't be no fun for me.
Oh, well, I like that. He cares about you. He wants to know that you're enjoying yourself as well.
No, I like it to be. I like to see how uncomfortable they are.
Okay. Well, you know, whatever. People role play, I suppose. So
what's that?
You could take her out for a pint or something. How does it happen over there? You guys?
I got plenty of pints in me flat. You can come back with me. I got lots of pints. We'll stop by Tesco and we'll get some snacks and things.
A package of crisps.
Well, pack a crisp, don't matter to me. Okay, right. Whatever.
I see now, another story, another headline here from this Daily Star. 2-meter rule for pubs quietly ditched in huge boost for boozers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
How am I going to make a slag if I'm not in a pub?
I don't even know what meters are, honestly.
It's just a measurement,
either.
You know, it's a couple
yeah,
meters.
Yeah, but like, can you really feet. Tell? Like,
how
who's
many
got a
yards
ruler?
Is a meter? Oh, right, you weigh like, about five, got, you weigh, you're about what? 10 stone, ain't you?
Yeah,
that'll do.
Yeah, 10 stone. Working on the rest, you know. But
I don't
like,
work on it. You carry it well.
Oh, thank you, love.
Oh, no, you like an extra stone or two on your birds, huh?
More to love,
three
mate.
Or four. More yes, cushion for the pushing, as they say in the States.
That's see, right. And you know what they else they say? They say is. It's not, it doesn't matter how big you are, something like that. Like
about the motion, the ocean, all that
something
kind of
about
stuff.
A wave, yeah.
Well, you guys will be getting it on this Saturday. I wish you the best of luck.
And Sunday. Well, can't tell me when you not have fun.
That's right.
Now, look, I've got a technical question. So, like, if we get it on Saturday night and then it turns into Sunday morning, like 1 a.m. or something... Like, does that still count? Are we allowed to do that?
We are. Yes. Is Boris Johnson going to come knock on the door?
I don't know.
It's not a one-day sex with strangers thing. It's you're allowed to, you can start having sex with strangers on Saturday. And
oh, it's not like 24 hours?
No. It's you starting on Saturday, sex. Although, you do have to have a bubble, right, Jared? There's a group. There's a bubble of people.
Yes,
it doesn't have to. Used to be you could only have sex with people in your own home.
Correct. It's called a support bubble with one other household. So that way you prevent
it's
the spread of COVID.
Let me tell you something. If she gains another five stones, she's going to need a support bubble to pull this off.
No, you all lean right. on my support bubble.
She has a lot in her orbit.
Yeah.
All right. That music tells me that we are done for yet another day. Here's the good news. There's one more weekday left in this here week, and I have signed a contract to do a show on every weekday. So that means there's one more show tomorrow morning. You doing the math, Autumn? Are you following?
Yeah,
there's
I think
one more
so.
Show tomorrow morning. We're going to be there. Everyone listening is welcome to join us. But until then, continue on the journey. For the time being, keep your social distance from the genie. Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.